Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Give thanks to Jesus and don't take advantage of it. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Is that it? Can that be my whole sermon for the day? Can I go sit down now? I mean, it kind of sounds like that's the point of the reading, right? Be like the guy who came back and give thanks to Jesus. Sure, that's fine. But if we look a little closer, we'll see there's more going on here. This isn't just a story about having good manners. So I do need to say a little bit more. Sorry, this sermon won't be that short. So let's start at the beginning. The scene starts by saying, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Well, to our ears, that just sounds like Bible talk for once upon a time. But it's not. If you looked at a map and charted the path that Jesus was taking to Jerusalem, you'd notice something really odd. There is no region between Samaria and Galilee. They are right next to each other. There's only a border. Samaria is south of Galilee. So either the gospel writer flunked geography, or the gospel writer is making a theological point. Odds are pretty good it's the latter. But we'll get to that. Next, we hear, as he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, this is interesting. Typically, when we hear about lepers in the Bible, it's usually like one or two at a time. But here we've got a whole group of 10 of them. Right, this is a small community here. And they are all united by their shared suffering. Right, they all have leprosy, this skin disease that makes them ritually unclean. To the rest of the world, who they are doesn't really matter. Right, their names don't matter. Their families don't matter. Their life stories don't matter. They're just a statistic. Right, 10 lepers. Let's just lump them all together. In our world, that still happens, doesn't it? Think about how people are lumped together when they all go through the same thing. Consider those who are still cleaning up after Hurricane Ian, or cancer patients, or victims of mass shootings, whatever the case, right? They all get grouped together because they all share in the same suffering. Things like age and gender and race and background, none of those things matter anymore. All of the people are going through the same thing. So they are all united in their suffering. But of course, suffering isn't the only thing that can unite people. Jesus can too. Right, think about the wide diversity of people in the global church. From Israel to the United States, from Europe to Africa, from those who are rich to those who are poor, those who are old, those who are young, right? There are all sorts of people who are united in Christ, which is fantastic. So tragedy may be a great equalizer, but so too are the waters of baptism. And we see that unity in Christ being played out in this scene. All right, Jesus healed all 10 of these lepers. He didn't discriminate. He didn't ask what their background was before they got healed. He didn't single out some people and not others. No, his healing was for everyone. He sent all of them to the priests at the temple. And that's great, right? That's worth celebrating. They weren't lepers anymore. Now, as an aside, I'll admit that when I was practicing the sermon yesterday, I accidentally said Jesus healed 10 leopards. Wouldn't that be funny? Jesus heals them, the spots on their skin are gone, and they aren't leopards anymore. That would be a completely different version of the story, wouldn't it? Well, after Jesus heals these 10 people, one man returns. And at first, we assume that the guy just had better manners than everybody else. We think he was like the person today who still takes the time to write a handwritten thank you note. But seeing this guy get an A in social etiquette is not the point here. Consider how the mood changed as they went to the temple. Right? They had cried out to Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Much like we do. Right? We even call it the Kyrie. Right? Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. They cried out to Jesus, and he listened, and he sent them on their way. Notice that he didn't even touch them or command the leprosy to leave them. He just told them to go and present themselves to the priests at the temple. But then one guy left the group and returned to Jesus. This is where the theological point about the area between Samaria and Galilee becomes important. We hear that the guy who returned was a Samaritan, a foreigner. Right? Jews didn't play nice with Samaritans because they considered them to be outsiders. Samaritans claimed that they still worshiped the same God the Jews worshiped, but they might have worshipped other gods too. And they are descendants of Jews who had intermarried with foreigners. So the Samaritans were basically mudbloods, to use a term from Harry Potter. In other words, this conflict between Jews and Samaritans was basically a race war. Your background is not like our background. And even if you say you worship the same God as us, you do it differently than we do, and we don't like that. You could also see this as the tension that comes up between different Christian denominations. Even though we worship the same God, some groups still don't like other groups because they do it differently. So imagine these 10 people on their way to Jerusalem. At first, they were all united by their shared suffering. They were all lepers. Their backgrounds and their life stories and their denominational loyalties, none of that mattered. But now that their suffering is gone, they quickly reevaluate their group. Instead of being united by their leprosy, they quickly see that one guy in their group is a Samaritan. Now, of course, I'm assuming the other 9 are Jewish, even though the text doesn't come out and say that. But the assumption works, because the other 9 still felt comfortable showing themselves to the Jewish priests in Jerusalem. And the fact that this one guy is singled out as a Samaritan seems to imply that the other 9 are not. So maybe this guy didn't return to Jesus just because he had good manners. Maybe he returned because he was kicked out of the group by the other 9. Consider it this way. Here we are as a church, a community united by the shared suffering of the human experience, a community united by Jesus who died for all of us, a community united in the call to serve our neighbors. But sometimes that community still pushes some people outside of it. Although we are all united in Christ, we still have this tendency to not welcome certain people into our group. Isn't this why many people accuse Christians of being hypocrites? Right, think, for example, if you've ever been burned by the church. Right, maybe you know the experience of being part of a group of people who all receive the grace of God, and yet they turned on you. They were not very good at showing you the grace that they so happily talked about. Even if they weren't overt about it, maybe they still subtly pushed you away. Maybe they stopped talking to you, or stopped reaching out to you, or stopped welcoming you. Maybe you just learned that your kind of people stood out in a different kind of way. Even though you used to be part of their group, you quickly felt like you weren't included anymore. I think this is why the Samaritan returns to Jesus. He had been a part of this small congregation of 10 people when they were all united in their suffering. But now he was kicked out because he was different. He was a Samaritan. And he wasn't going to become Jewish just so he could be accepted by this group again. But instead, he turned back to the one who healed him like everybody else. Jesus. Remember, Jesus healed all of these lepers. He didn't ask who was Jewish and who was a Samaritan. He purposefully went into that region between Samaria and Galilee. He crossed those boundaries that divided those two groups. He didn't ask who fit into a certain mold and who didn't. No, Jesus healed all of them. And in the same way, Jesus heals you. Right? If you feel different, if you feel like you've ever been burned by the church, if somehow you've been told that your identity is wrong and you have to become like others before you can be welcome, then I want to say two things. First, on behalf of the church at large, I'm sorry. You should not have been treated that way. We should have done better for you. My heart breaks that you had to go through that. And second, I want to remind you that Jesus loves you just as much as he loves everyone else. We are all sinful and broken people in need of healing by Jesus. And he gives it to all of us, including you. Even if others who were by your side suddenly turned their backs on you, even if you got kicked out of a certain group, even if you feel that you are all alone in this world with no place to belong, remember that Jesus is still here for you. You still belong with him. It's no wonder then why this Samaritan returned and fell on the ground before Jesus. Right? This wasn't just about being nice and saying thank you when someone helps you out. This was about expressing a deep and profound gratitude for the one who healed him just like everybody else. This was about showing devotion to the one who accepted him. This was about realizing that he did have a place to belong. And that place was with Jesus. This gratitude is a response to this guy knowing how hard his life has been. and knowing how overwhelming the love of Jesus is for him too. And the same overwhelming love is for you too. So yes, sometimes we are united in our suffering. But we are also united in Jesus. This is where you belong. This is where all of us belong. This is where all of us get healing. Boundaries are crossed, lines are erased, and the only identity that really matters is the one we all have in Christ. With an amazing Savior like that, we can't help but turn around and give him thanks. So in the name of this one who heals us all, Jesus Christ our Lord, amen.